Sunday Meditation, April 3rd, 2005. The question today has to do with the concept of how inspiration works in our group as we come together, share our week with each other around the circle, look for a question, determine a question, and then close speaks upon this topic, and in one way or another, the information moves into different levels of our consciousness. And as we come out of meditation and speak with each other afterwards, it seems to get seated in our consciousness in some way. And we're wondering if Kuo could give us some information about how this quality or principle of inspiration works in a group for each of us as individuals.
We are those known to you as the principle of Kuo. Greetings. In the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we come to you this day. We thank each of you for the beauty of your vibrations, for the pleasure of your company in this circle of seeking, and for the question that you offer as a group. As always, we would ask for your cooperation in listening to those things that we have to say with a careful ear, ready to forget any thought of ours that does not seem helpful to you. We would greatly appreciate this, as it will give us the opportunity to speak freely, knowing that we are not infringing on your free will or looming over you as some sort of perceived authority. With this freedom, we are much more able to feel free to speak our thoughts person to person, shall we say, creator to creator. The song that the one known as Jim chose for the tuning song that opens this meditation was most apt to the query which concerns inspiration and the group process. It is interesting to us that two words in your English language are pronounced the same and have related meanings. In terms of your springtime, which you are now enjoying the very beginnings of in your area, it is the sun, S-U-N, that is shining ever more brightly and ever more immediately upon your faces. In terms of this instrument's distortion of religious seeking, she has entered the season of Easter, which is the season of the sun, S-O-N, and his seeming loss to the world and immediate reappearance within it as the risen Lord. In a group such as yours, my friends, each of you is the sun. You cannot see yourself shining. You cannot see your risen aspect. You cannot see the radiance of your being. For from within your system of awareness, many things are upon your mind. Many sorrows are upon your hearts. Many burdens are upon your shoulders. Your thinking processes are devious and multiple. Your emotional life, as this instrument was saying earlier, ebbs and flows. And there are many times of the most solemn and serious contemplation of the nature of the self, of the worth of the self, of the value of self-perceived processes. Is the attempt to accelerate the advent of spiritual evolution within the self efficient? Is it moving forward? Is the refining process ongoing? How difficult it is to answer any of these questions from within the system of the self. And when one bumps up against other selves in the everyday and ordinary life, how clearly can we either perceive other selves or perceive their reflections of ourselves as we interrelate? The value of coming together, knowing ahead of time that there is a sacred space that has been prepared by intention, is great. For it allows the self, in the midst of its everyday aspects, to enter into a transformational space, a potentiated time, a dedicated nexus of opportunity. How humbly each of you brings yourself to this time, this space, and this nexus. Each of you knows the self to be unworthy. The glory of the decision to enter this opportunity is that you have come anyway. You have chosen freely and firmly to give yourself the opportunity for transformation. You have not judged yourself and found yourself unworthy. Faith lives within you. Faith in your own self, bare of any pretension. Faith in the value of sacred spaces different times. And face in the group. How the heart opens given such an opportunity. And when you have formed the intention of becoming part of a circle of seeking, something happens to the way in which you listen to each other. It is as if, like a shaggy dog, you have shaken yourself off. And all of the thoughts and feelings that have been clogging the system have been released. Your energy system clears. Your mind sharpens. And your heart feels at home at last within you. Light begins to gather. It is not light from without you. It is light from within you. The power within you that has been slumbering awakens. And you minister to each other. Love that is beyond words flows from every fiber of your being as you listen to each other. Even if you cannot say one word, your heart is radiating the infinite love and light that lies within you. Tongues of fire, as this instrument would describe the action of the Spirit, pour down upon you. As your heart goes out, literally, to each other's spoken and unspoken feelings and thoughts. And within this potentiated space and time, peace descends. That peace which indeed passeth all understanding. And power flows and sparkles and dances as each cares for each. What is the nature of spirit? It can be seen, certainly, as a rain that falls, as a blessing. In another way, it can be seen as that force not only from above, but from below, that connects the infinite creator in its undifferentiated and universal expression as infinite energy, with very articulated and very specific tongues of flame that are drawn into your body system, and that subtle body system that this instrument would call the energy system or the chakra system. By the nature, the color, the brilliance, and the balance within your very distorted and biased and yet innerly balanced energy system. As this process occurs, a focus develops within you. It is not only unique to you, but it is unique to you in this moment. And so each of you becomes a focused flame of spirit. You have been transfigured. The highest and best within you has found a point of eloquence within the silence of this nexus. And your mirroring capabilities and capacities organize and become lucid. You become more and more helpful to each other. And you spark each other so that each becomes more skillful and more inspired and more inspiring. And again, this may or may not have anything to do with what is said. It has to do with your essence, with that which is far beyond words or expression of any kind. Each of you is an energy. This energy has taken all of the infinite reaches of your every experience. To come into manifestation at this moment. And this moment becomes a gift that you give to each other freely, unthinkingly. For you have been renewed. And therefore, your creation has been renewed. It is not that one person cannot do this alone, for one person can. But one person is a small group. There is you. And there is spirit. the mirroring process is lacking. You are, as it were, upon the stormy sea, but without lighthouses. Or to put it another way, you are upon that stormy sea, but without the buoys that ring, that peculiar ring, to let you know where the shore is, where home is, where the reefs and the perils may be that may keep you from that shore and from that home. Each of you becomes the lighthouse for each other person. When we say to you that there is tremendous value in the very distortions that you so bemoan when you speak of your failings, we realize that it is difficult for you to understand this. And yet, if you think of the wind chime that makes beautiful music in the wind, and then you think of the effect of the sounds of the buoys that float upon the ocean and warn of peril and sing of home. Perhaps you can begin to see how much of a blessing it is to create the harmony of all of each of your very personal and unique sounds coming together in the harmony of the expressions of love in one sacred place. Can there ever be a disharmony in such a choir of individual and authentic bells ringing because of the rocking of the waters of manifestation and the wind of spirit? The word inspiration is a word that is literally talking about breath, wind. And when one speaks of breath or wind, one is speaking of the spirit. It is said in your holy work, the Bible, the wind blows where it will, and no one can bid it. When the breath goes out of the body and does not return, the spirit has left the physical vehicle, and what is left is dust. You have been raised into manifestation from the dust. And the Spirit has breathed into you. And as you breathe in the one infinite Creator, and as you breathe out, you breathe out that which you have made of that creation creative inspiration in and out. This is the rhythm of your living. You are never still. You do not arrive at some sort of stasis in which all has been accomplished. If each breath is a question and each out-breath an answer, then the process may be seen never to end. You know not what you breathe in, and you know not what you breathe out. You can never know the extent to which your answer is useful to yourself or others. What you can know is that the supply of inward and outward motion is infinite. That is why we say to you again and again, my friends, how precious is this moment. How dear is this breath. Feel in this moment the love within you. How beautiful, how profound is the quality of your love. Feel the devotion that lies beneath the roiled and stormy surface of the everyday. Feel at this moment the truth of the essential self. Feel the beauty of it trembling within you. Too precious to express. And then breathe out and know. The power of your every intention, thought, and expression. Each of you comes to this moment as a point of flame, that flame of spirit that shall renew the face of the earth. Know your adequacy. Know yourself. And rest. Between each breath, rest. in the essence of the self. What shall you do with this moment? Do not be self-conscious. Do not begin to analyze the process. It is impossible to unplait the braids of spirit and self and dust and interrelationship. It is enough to know that all of you and we are one. And in the combination of essences lies discovery, healing, and growth. We would at this time open this session to further questions. Are there further queries at this time?
Well, we have some questions from the group we call the Rangers. One of them is, could you comment on this question? If one cannot be a monk of just one thing, can one be a monk of all things? This question is really about how to deal with the desire to live in a spiritually potent manner without leaving society.
We are those of Gaul and are aware of your query, my brother. We believe that we understand this question and would begin the answer by defining in some general way the term monk. The monk is an entity which has dedicated its life to a discipline which has as its purpose the simplifying and the deepening of the course of a life so that, like a creek that has been brought into one channel, it may be more powerful to express devotion and service. It is entirely possible to be such a dedicated entity, with or without the group which has formed itself around one religious system. It means, however, that such an entity must choose the rule of its life for itself. Without the aid and, shall we say, the crutch of an established practice, a carefully articulated rule of life, in light of the preceding discussion of the nature of such a group as this present circle of seeking, it becomes obvious that any rule of life is easier to think about, articulate, and explore. When there is a group of like-minded entities which creates that sacred space where each is helping each to bring each other home. A group such as the Rangers has indeed the potential for creating such a group without the necessity for being in one place at one time. For the communication system of your internet and email creates another kind of immediacy in which questions common to all can be explored. The key to being such a dedicated entity, however, lies in the continuing devotion to the development of and the living out of a rule of life. This transforms the everyday into the sacred. In the life of a monk, devotion is expressed by every action, not just those times which are sacred in definition according to some practice, like the gathering for religious services or observances. Every aspect of the life of a monk is offered sacredness by the dedication of the entity to the rule of life of that particular monastic order. In such an entity's life, cleaning the house is equivalent to cleansing the spirit of imperfections. Washing the clothing, the body, the dishes, becomes equivalent to dipping one's seemingly soiled self, soul, and essence into the transforming water that creates healing and cleanliness within. The preparation of the food necessary to feed the body becomes equivalent to the preparation of the sacrificed and dedicated self to the service of the one infinite creator. Each thing that is done with the intention of expressing devotion to the one infinite creator becomes sacred. Thusly, there is nothing in the everyday and ordinary life that is not sacred. We welcome further questions upon these points from those known as the Rangers. but shall not attempt to anticipate them. Is there another query at this time?
There are two further queries from the Rangers. One of them asks if Kowal would comment on any connections between the counterculture movements of various decades, such as the 50s Beach Generation or the 60s Flower Children and the 80s Techno Rave.
We are those of Kowal and are aware of your query, my brother. We would suggest two points of connection among many. The first connection is the one of spirit and flesh. In each generation, the yearning for that which is beneath the surface expresses itself in ways both negative and positive in terms of what this instrument would describe as negative or critical expression and positive or radiant expression. The connection between these generational terms and their expressions, both critical and radiant, is the connection of the spirit within the boundaries of flesh, yearning to express that something more that is felt, yet often cannot be found in the everyday. That quality that is so blessed within the young, within incarnation, is the quality that sees clearly the hypocrisy and the tomb-like structure of indifference that has been created by those whose hope has fled. And whether it is the critical and dark energy of the Beat Generation that's a transcendent joy of the Flower Children, or the very mixed darkness and lightness of the Techno Rave, sorrow and joy, all expressed together. The energy is that of transformation, and this is that which wrenches spirit into flesh. That which wrenches spirit into flesh. Those who are outside of the energy of these movements within the young are distracted, oftentimes, by the collateral images, icons, and accessories, if you will, of such movements. Those who have experienced from the inside out these energies know, beyond any doubting, the validity and the rightness of the spirit And if it must be pulled or tugged or wrenched to appear within flesh, then these energies are accepted and even welcomed. It seems as though there is violence involved in such movements. And perhaps we would say that insofar as this may be so, it is due to the violent nature of the wind of spirit when it is called into a space that has not been prepared as a sacred space. However impure that energy seems, it is a true blessing, not only to those who feel it and express it, but to the world, which has been changed by its inclusion. The other aspect that we would point out in terms of the commonality of these movements is that they have in common being much more native to and obvious to the nature of those who are awakening as wanderers, or as those who are ready to be wanderers, that is, who are ready to graduate from third density into fourth, who are ready to drop the flesh and live in love. In a sense, this is about the release of fear. Love and fear cannot coexist. And the expression of love is the release of fear. It is the movement from death to larger life. Is there another query at this time?
The last ranger question is whether you would comment on the architect Le Corbusier. I suspect he is of wanderer origins and would like to know if it is possible to share what his work manifested through architecture.
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. In terms of specifics, it is not possible for us to discuss one entity such as Le Corbusier. However, it is interesting to look into the nature of how creativity works within a life experience. The same creative wind blows for all. And on that wind lie melodies, themes, motifs. And other avenues of intelligent expression of the fire of spirit. The energies of suffering and learning attach the facets of personality uniquely for each unique entity. And as an entity awakens within incarnation to the truth and beauty of its own being, possibilities open up in this and that way, unique to each entity. One entity may express creativity by growing a family and helping the young souls within that family to flower. Another entity may hear the call of a certain kind of expression of devotion and become a guardian of truth, an upholder of justice. Or an agent of the healing power of human love. All professions call with the song of the muse to those entities whose personalities are shaped so that those structures hold their passion and give them avenues of expression. Every artist catches the wind of spirit and finds ways to draw images that catch the light and share the vision. Every musician hears those melodies that are drifting from angelic essences embedded within the inner planes and responsive to the winds of the times and the energies of the generation now alive. And so it is with those who see the value of shape and ratio and wish to create places for the heart and the spirit to thrive. Is there another query at this time? We are those of growing, since we seem to have exhausted the queries within the circle this day. We would leave you as we found you, in the love and the light, the peace and the power of the one infinite creator. Adonai. I don't know.